Okay, let us get started on our day's lesson. If you will, open your Bibles to Mark Gospel. And I need to release some people. I can't afford to release anymore. Okay. All right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer and then we go ahead. Amen. Amen. Father God, we just honor you today. And we know that the Spirit of God is in our midst because we prayed and we believe that you'll cause the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, cause us to have a quick understanding of the word. I thank you that revelation knowledge will flow. And Father, I want to pray for those of our members here that couldn't make it and a lot of them out on vacation and leave, and some I know about, some I don't. I'm just going to hold them up before you, Father God, and pray protection around them. I pray, Father God, that the eyes of their understanding are being enlightened as far as the membership is concerned, and that they'll come rejoicing with good reports being away from us, and I believe that, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Last week we talked about bringing ourselves in line where sin is concerned, and as we've concluded that, and I believe you can't really conclude anything. Just stop them, you know, and pick back up on them next time the subject come to play, because they continually grow. You know, revelation just won't stop. It just continually grow. So today, you know, I told you last week, we'll be talking about the integrity of God's word and how important the integrity of the word is, and for us as believers to know it. Now, I've been on knowing and having knowledge, because we need the knowledge to progress in what God has called us to do. And without that knowledge, you see, we'll never act on it. But we're going to impart some things about the Spirit of God today, and I believe you'll be able to act on them. And we as disciples need to make decisions that, hey, I'm moving on the things that I'm receiving. I'm not just sitting on it. Now, we're not going to can everything we get, are we? We're going to keep giving away because we know that law now. And when we talked about it last week, we know if we give it away, we'll get it back, you know. And last week, I started off talking about love, giving love away. You know, you can't beat giving away love, because that's what we want. That's our foundation, is love. God so loved the world. That's why he did everything. We want to have the same foundation. We want to so love the world that we're giving. We want to so love each other that we're giving, because love is our foundation. And we studied our scriptures from 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, verses 4 through 8. And I'm taking everybody's putting it to memory like they have been instructed. And if you do, you won't forget these scriptures. They'll always be alive in you. And when the situation arises, you won't be selfish. You see, you won't be hearted. You see, you won't take offense real easy, because you know you're walking in love now. You'll never take account of evil done to you. Pay no attention to the suffering wrong. You begin to operate in that, because that's the way God operates. We want to operate that way so we can get the same results of what we're doing. So, in talking about the integrity of God's word, we're using Mark chapter 4, and we're going to start off talking about the sowing the word, or sowing seed. And in talking about this discourse here, it's actually one of the finer teachings in the gospel. What Jesus in this teaching did, I think he taught 10 parables that day. And the way you find out is you have to go back to Matthew, and you had to go back to Luke, and you put them all together. He spent that whole day preaching the word of God, If I can find mark the fourth chapter in my Bible, that's what I was looking for. Oh, I even had it marked. I ain't had a marker in there, couldn't find it. That's not good. In preaching this chapter on integrity, we find out that Jesus used the parable or a natural crop growing, seed planting, harvest time situation to impart a spiritual truth. You see? So that's what he's doing here in Mark when he said a sower going out to sow a seed, to sow seed. Right? Okay, so we understand that because we're in a farming situation here. We're around people who do farm. So he says the sower goes out to sow a seed. But we, in relationship to that, he tells us, I think, in the 12th verse, that the seed is the word. And what I like about the parable is this. The people that was with him, they had opportunity to go back and ask him about it. You see, you and I, you know, if we had been there and we weren't a part of it, we wouldn't have got, you know, that behind-the-scene action like they did. They found out, you know, that it was more to it. He explained it to them. And then he told those that were out, the crowd, so to speak, that was out there, he told them about it, but he didn't break it down to them. And he said it was for them to know. And he was quoting Isaiah, you know, when he said he'll speak in parable, you know, those that have ears, let them hear. You see, so these guys must have had a set of ears on their head because they wanted to hear more. So they went back. And it's the same thing with you and I, too, when we dealing with the word of God. We want to know more, then we go back, you see. We don't want to know more, we dismiss it, you know. But he talks about this doing here, talking about the sower. He says, like, since the seed we know now is the word of God, he said that it is received four different ways, didn't he? He says received different ways. He says some of these seeds fall by the wayside. You know, well, I mean, how about us today? How are our seeds falling today? Are they falling by the wayside? Are they falling in thorns and thistles? Are the cares of the world coming in and taking away the things that we hear from the word of God? You know, sometimes it do you good to put inventory on yourself and see how much of it that I'm getting a hold to. You know, is this sticking to me or not? Can I go back and remember what was said about the word of God? Did I take a note? Did I make any decision to go forth with it? Sometimes we have to ask ourselves that question. But this is what he's talking about concerning the word of God and the integrity of the word of God. Now, I want you to see today primarily the integrity of the word and how can I hook myself to it in a greater measure than I have in the past. Okay, the 14th verse, I was just saying, it's telling you about the seed is the word of God. The 27th verse says this. I like about, he said it, it says that the seed is being planted and we sleep and we arise and we don't know how that seed come forth. Now, he's talking about the natural seed now. See, he's saying that when you know, you plant a seed, you don't know how it come forth. I like that. You know how come I like that? That means that I don't have to know the whole process to get it to work for me. You see, the earth was created by God, but it was created to incubate seed. See, you can't tell when you put a seed in the ground every stage it goes through. You can't tell how it's going to produce. But see, the earth was made to produce that seed, make that seed come forth, you see, and produce. It amazes me. When I was going through this, I thought about all these billions of people on the earth. The earth still feeding them all. You know, God is awesome God. He made it, and I mean, and you know what? Everybody ain't eating the same thing neither. You know? It's coming forth. It's bringing forth. God made the earth to produce that way. So you can see why Jesus is saying what he's saying about using that parable of the seed to show you some things. You see? So if God made the earth to produce after his kind, then he made man after his kind and his word to produce in the man. See? If the word of God come into your heart like it goes into the ground, like we know this, what he's talking about. Now he's talking about the word going into a man's heart and producing. And he's telling you, he told you ways that it wouldn't produce. And he said some, if it get in your heart right, it'll produce 100-fold. He's 30, 60, 100-fold. But now, you know, a lot of us would be glad to get 10-fold. You know what I mean? You know, just 30. But if it get into your heart, so he's telling us that the word was made for that purpose. Now, let me ask this question. If he's telling us the word, who knows where the scripture is that tells us that the word was made to go into our heart? I better not go in my pocket. My wife's standing over there. I would pay for that one. Who knows? Matthew 4:4. That's no, he doesn't. That's Matthew 4:4. What's the other part?
Well, on every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Oh, so we know it's made for our heart because he says it, doesn't he? He said, man live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So you know God made your heart and the word to fit, just like he made the seed to fit the ground. Wow. See, now you see how come Jesus used that parable now? He's saying, just like the seed is hitting that ground and producing, and you know not how. He said, God made your heart the same way. If he said the word hit in your heart, or you put it in your heart, it'll produce, and you know not how. See, and then, too, you don't want to know how a lot of these things till you just get on in God, and as you begin to produce, see, the word will produce in your heart and give you exactly what it says it'll give you. If you understood what he was talking about out there that day. See, when he was talking to these guys, they did. Because they went back and asked them to make sure they knew what he was talking about. He said, now, you plant it in there. And he said it was made to go in there. It'll give you exactly what you want. But you know what? He also measured it out. Because he goes on to say in the same parable, it's a step-by-step measure. See, and I often say this, you know, a lot of people, you know, they'll say, well, you know, God got a miracle for you. But, you know, God didn't intend for you to live by miracles. You know how God intended for you to live? By faith. And that's by the word of God producing just like Jesus said to produce. That's why Jesus told them guys. He said, when you plant the seed in the ground, he said, it's a process. He said, first, the blade. Then the stalk. You see, he began to show you that it's a step-by-step process that takes place. But you know about Christian people? They ain't got no patience. They'll plant the word and dig it right back up. Or either allow the devil to come and steal it. See, he told you the way to protect it, didn't he? He told you, he said, when you plant the seed in your heart, he told you how the devil will come and get it. So you automatically know that if I got it planted in good ground, I got my heart right, see? I got my heart right for the word of God. So I'm planted in good ground. I got to know now how to keep it planted and how to make it produce in my life. You see, and that's what I want to do. I want to keep the word planted. I want to keep it producing in my life. I want to see the results of it. Now that I know it's a step-by-step operation, what am I going to do now? I'm going to walk it out. I'm going to walk it out. Now, because he done made it plain to me, all these things, the how it should work. He made all the plain. So I want to walk it out step by step. I want to see the blade. I want to see the stalk. Then I want to see my harvest. You see, I don't want to go in too early. I just want to stay because I know what he's talking about now. Because he's using this illustration to tell us that, hey, this is the exact way it worked. This is exactly the way. He said, when you put it in there, if you watch over it, now, he said, don't let the cares of the world come. Deceitfulness of riches come and take it away from you. He said, these things come for one thing. They deceive. They come to steal the word. You know some devils out there wanted to fall by the wayside. You know how he wanted to fall by the wayside? He come and attack your flesh. And when he attack your flesh, You know, you say, well, I hear you talking, but I don't think that'll work for me. You know, I know so-and-so, they tried it. It didn't work for them. I know mom and them, you know, they lived like this for years. You know, they raised a garden there. Yeah, they didn't believe in spending no money. So, you know, I'm telling you what this is, robbing you from the Word of God. Because you're doing what? You went right back to leaning to your own understanding and not trusting in the Lord with all your heart. You didn't trust what he told you to trust. You leaned back to what you knew in your own thinking. See, it's a way always seem right to a man. It's always a way to seem, because that's all he know. But when it comes to God, you got to take God by faith. And a lot of times when you take God by faith, you just believe what he said, act upon it, and get the results. We know Abraham did. You know he believed what God said. Excuse me. I put my water bottle. Somebody, I usually have a... Hey, look. Put a little something in that water. Put some blessing in. Hey, y'all doing blessing. What you want in there, Lake?
I want a little
you can't think like that. Bad thinking. Oh, my.
Matthew,
drink my water, man. Tell him he the youth pastor next time. So you can't drink the pastor. Why are you the youth pastor? Let me come back. Okay. We went to that scripture right there, Matthew 4:4. We see now some things that the Bible is telling us concerning the Word of God that we must live. Okay. So if we know about the step-by-step process, we know not to just jump right on whatever's taking place, but we know and look for the results without walking it out and getting the full results. And when we get the full results, we can walk away complete, whether it's healing we're believing for, whether it's prosperity we're believing for, whether it's the loved ones we're believing for to come into the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can have what we say. We got the scriptures to back up everything that we're talking about right now as far as putting God's word first place in our life. Okay. Next subject we'll deal with is he makes another point in the 35th verse. After he finished explaining to the parables and finished up everything, he went to, on that 35th verse, you know what he said? Let's go over to the other side. Now, he told them how important the word was, didn't he? Then he gave them some of it. They already knew who he was. You know, Peter had already gave his revelation, didn't he? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see? So what he did then, after he explained to them how the word worked, he said, let's go over. So what happened when they got ready to go over to the other side? He went in there and went to sleep. See, Jesus wasn't bothered by it. Now, you guys, you got the word. You know how the word worked now. See, he explained to them. So they had no excuse for not going to the other side. So what they did, and what did Jesus say happen when you get the word? The devil comes. You see, he came to them on the water, didn't he? And then you know what he did to them, don't you? Stole the word from them. And when he stole the word from them, they turned back. See, he wasn't bothering Jesus none. He knew the word worked. Don't you want to get up and do your part, help us get some of the water out of this boat? You want to help us out here, Lord Jesus? He said, hey, look, don't you care if we perish? That's actually what they were saying, you know. And when they got Jesus up, you know, Jesus, he stopped it all and asked them, where was their faith? Where was your faith? You didn't believe nothing I told you. You know, people the same way today. He said, if you had to believe what I said to you, you'd have went across that water. Because he explained to them step by step what would take place. Can you see that?
Yes.
And can you see what they did? We do the same thing, don't we?
Yes.
Explain to you step by step how to walk in healing, how to walk in prosperity, and we do it for 2 or 3 days and bag off. See? But I'm going to tell you something, folks. If he said it, that sells it. Don't let time be a hindrance to you. Put time to the side. You see? Abraham did. Look how many years it took him to come up with his son. Look how many years. Not only did it take him a lot of years to do it, he tried to do it himself. Got us in trouble we in now with the Middle East. We still fighting this thing. He got us in trouble now. Boy, still blowing up everything. But it just tells us one thing, don't it? Man, a way to look right to a man. In there was death. You see, by him trying to help. He couldn't wait. See, God told him, you know, even though his wife laughed at him, God told him, said, no, that's not the promised child. God's word is his exceeding great and precious promises. They work, but we have to work them. So what did God do for Abraham when he saw, as he said, seeing that I go childless? He taught him the same thing we teach us here. Put your confessions out there before you. Change his name from Abraham to Abraham, father of many nations. Just let him keep saying it. See? Just keep saying it. Father of many nations. Keep saying who you are. And he told himself, you know, when you look at the sand, you remember that. He told him, he said, your seed will be like the sand, innumerable. Look at the stars. He made him look at things that would remind him of what he told him at all time. Less than a year. See? He came up with it. You see? God has a way, and we can put it all to work if we hold fast to it. Now, if you hold fast, now we always say, hold fast to your confession of faith, which is the right thing. That's what Abraham was doing. But God just fixed it where he could do it every day. See, you living out in the desert, you can't help but see stars at night. And you can't help but think, you know, God told me. God told me. You when you get up in the daytime walking in hot sand, God told me. God told me. Yeah. That's all he can say. This way my seed gonna be. God told him. He couldn't help but to forget it. So he kept saying it. He kept remembering it. And what happened? It came to pass. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart. So he made him think about it. Not only said it, but made him think about it. You see? How many times we believe in God and we think defeat? How many times we believe in God and we think going doing something else other than saying what the words say? Amen. But you got to change your mind, what we call renewed mind, to the Word of God, saying what the Word of God has to say. You see, when we begin to say what the Word of God has to say, it brings life. It imparts life. It might take it a while for you right now. But you know what Jesus said, don't you? He said, the seed come to blade first. See, after a while, you know sometimes the blade is? I can remember every scripture. Say, good. You're on the right track now. You see. And the stalk come in, you don't start acting on it. You see, and I'm acting on it. Now I can reach in there and get the fruit. See? It just continue to grow as we continue to grow, as we continue to keep it working. That beats all I ever seen. But, and I always say this too, you just don't go to school today in the first grade and come back home with your diploma. You know, but that's the way people think spiritually. You know, well, Mom, I went in today. I'm in first grade. Come back, you got your diplomas. I graduated this evening. No, step by step. That's what he's trying to get us to see, that everything that he put on the earth works like that. The seed, step by step by step. And before I got my water, I was telling you guys about we can't live by miracles. God didn't call us to live by miracles. He did live by faith. And when you live in my faith, it's going to always be this step, these steps. That's why Jesus used that parable of the seed. He said, if you can get this, he said, the kingdom is compared to the seed. He wears the kingdom in your heart. He said, you realize that kingdom in your heart is compared to the seed that I'm telling you about. And once you've realized that it's compared to the seed, and you see what Jesus did to show those guys how they were, he said, now y'all go across the water. Let's go to the other side of the lake. And so what Jesus did, he went on back there. I bet he dreamed about them guys. He said, Lord, I believe they'll make it. But I'm telling you, folk don't make it because they don't hear it. He that have ears, let him hear. Not only that, you have to spend time meditating the word. That'll be our last step for today. You have spent time. That's what he told Joshua. He said, Joshua, you want to get this thing? 1:7, I believe it is. 7. 7:1, Henry, or 1:7? Meditating. I look that good to some people, Henry. It's 1:7 and 8. Joshua. Meditating the word, observing to do all that is written therein. You see, looking at it with that in mind, I'm just not meditating, Lord, just to see it. I want to do it once I get in it, because you see, it comes right back to play from James. You know, he said, "You're a hearer, not a doer. You self-deceive." But I'm meditating in it now. If it's healing I want, I see myself well according to this word right now. I see myself the way this word tells me that I am. Because you telling me if I keep thinking like this, I'm going to get well. Because I'm thinking that it's getting into me now. I'm working it into me now. You see, I always tell people, you know, put it on tape. I can have my confessions on tape when I'm in the car. I here so long, I'd be wondering, is that me talking right there to me like that? And I'd be going on down the road, just booging on down, listening to my confession. See, saying the things that I want to take place in my life, you see, just continually saying them, till they come alive. And that's not really enough. You know, if we could be like Abraham and guys back in that day, they spent more time. See, like I always say to us, we don't have the time. You know, everything pressing on us in these last days. You got to be here, got to be there, got to call so and so. Then by the time you get busy, your phone start ringing. And you saying, oh, God, be like my wife tell me, so why do you keep answering the thing? I said, I don't know. Hello. Don't nobody call her cell phone. They don't know the number. I don't know. She has to ask me the number. What's the number to my phone? But it's just that way now. Everything is just, you know, it's congested. You know, you know, if you go somewhere, you know, you have to time yourself. It just everything is that way. So we have to make time for God, because God don't change. See, he don't change. So if we where we are now is because of what we've been saying yesterday. See, we've been saying all the wrong things and we've been getting all the wrong results. Or we've been saying the right things to a certain degree. But I'm going to tell you something about confessions. Confessions are light your fire. If you start confessing the word every day, you will notice the power when you start living with God. You'll notice the power that's in that word when you say it, that anointing that's in your heart. You'll notice it a lot of times. It'll just come up and you say, boy, that was powerful there. That was powerful. Because you're making it work for you like he's telling us that we can. See, just like a farmer make a crop. God has prepared everything for him. All he has to do is work it. He prepared everything for us in the word. All we have to do is work it. Amen? Amen. We can put it to work in our lives and we can get the results from it. Amen. So, you see the integrity in the word of God that we're talking about. Okay? Let's look at Matthew 13:19. Let's say it together. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the evil one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Yeah. You had to just underline that in your Bible and realize that that's a move of the devil. You know, we were studying authority, and we was just about to enter into some ways we have authority that we don't use. But Knowing authority, you somewhere down the line got to know the devil and the way he operates, because you won't know how to use your authority. See, if you don't know how he operates. So this is one of his operations where the word of God is concerned, that you need to know and how to combat that, you see. So he's saying that understanding is the key to it. See, if you don't make it your business to understand, the devil gonna take it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Now, that's just as true as you will ever read. He said he understood it not, or you understandeth it not. How many times have you read the word and didn't understand it? You see? And see, you, when you didn't understand it, you could have just told yourself, devil going to come take that from me if I don't get some understanding on it. He going to come and take it. Because Jesus said he would. He can't miss it. He can't miss it. Okay, now I gave you Joshua 1:8 on the meditation. Make sure you write that down, because that's a key to getting you to get the word to stay in. So that was one reason when I gave you the scripture. So it wouldn't do no good to tell you how you can lose it, and don't tell you how you can keep it. See, so we want to keep it. So we got the keeping part of it already in. As if you wrote down the scripture on it. Let's look at, this is a good scripture right here, John 6:63. Kevin. I don't think I covered any of this, and I may have. We got up there. Look, come on, let's read, you guys. It's the spirit that quicken. The flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. They are spirit. Now, we already said about how, what the word, how the, where the word go and how it works. But this verify the fact that that word that you're getting is spiritual and it's life. Now, if it's spirit, that means that you have a spirit. It's going to your spirit part, you see, not to your flesh part. Now, last week I was telling you guys how the flesh will fight you. How when you start doing spiritual things, you realize. And I was listening to, who was that? Andrew Warman last week. Maybe this. He was talking about the flesh, and, you know, he said something that that enlightened me. You know, he said, flesh just not your body, but it's anything that come against the word of God. Your soul can be flesh because it's coming against the word of God. See, till you get it renewed to the word of God. See, he said, all of that is flesh. And he's saying, that's why he said, the word said, it profits you nothing, because it won't be spiritual at all. It'll be all natural, see, and you won't get no profit out of it. And he's saying, now the spirit is going to profit you because the spirit is like God. And we already studied the spirit part. We know something about the spirit. We know the spirit is what every day? I'm brand new. You don't give it 24 hours old. And then you're right back where you were. 24 hours, boy. And then, you know, and then your spirit got a big job, too, because it's carrying, you know, carrying the body. It's carrying the whole load. You see, so you can see why, you know, being absent from the body, you know, when the spirit leaves the body, is absent, that thing will just drop over. Ain't no more count for nothing. But anyway, so this is what he's talking about here in these scriptures right here. Why he's talking about the flesh won't have any profit. So if we start listening to the flesh, I did make this point to you guys: the flesh will talk to you. I mean, I have to ask somebody that do. Man, I tell you what, if you heard anything, you heard from the flesh. I hear it right now saying Piccadilly, Piccadilly. But I ain't going to Piccadilly. I'm going to fool the flesh today. I ain't going to Piccadilly. But I'm just saying, you know, when the flesh got something for you, you know, it just come right to you thinking, you know. It just come right to you. I mean, if it's hurting, it comes right to you. You know, if it's sleepy, it comes right to you. You know, it comes to a lot of people when they come to sleep. You know, some people don't get no sleep till they come to church. Yeah, maybe you talk to them at home. I was trying to go to sleep. But come on in. If somebody told me, as soon as I read my Bible, so I get in my hand. I tell you what, devil don't want you. You think the devil ain't alive. Some people, you know, don't think the devil is real, you know. Yeah, they think everybody going to heaven. I sure got news for them. They going to live, but they ain't going to heaven. But yeah. Man, it's a big surprise. But you'd be surprised people think that. They say, you know, oh, God, going to do nothing like that. Everybody going to heaven. My Lord. I tell you, hey, look here. Boy said, and God woke up, he didn't even believe he was in hell, you know. And said, the devil said, well, turn the fire up a little bit. You know, he don't believe it now. You turn it up. We're smoking out pretty good. Oh, man. That's what the guy said. When the three men was in hell, one was, I think, a Pentecostal, a Baptist, and a Methodist. Yeah. And they say, you know, the Pentecostals told the guys, you know, say, by faith I ain't here. I say, shoot. Yeah, you there, baby. You yeah, by faith. He been used to all the colloquium, you know. Yeah, by faith, I'm not here. Smoking like I don't know what. But it is bad to say, you know, people in church going to hell. That's bad to say that you've been in church all your life. And then you go to hell too. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm saying, well, you know, I just thought I said, worst thing in the world you can do is just think you're right with God. The worst thing in the world you can do. Man, I tell you what, I sure wish I could preach that everywhere I go. Just tell people, don't just think you're right. If you think you're wrong, that's the way I say it. If you just think you're wrong, I can't tell you how many people have been baptized over and over again. I don't know why they thought baptism was going to get them right, but I tell you what, I'd have been doing Romans 10, 9, and 10 over and over. That's what I say. This is what I want to make sure, my name in this book. That's what I want to make sure of, you see, if I was going to make sure of anything. But I tell you, some people go to the water every chance they get, thinking that baptism is effective like that. But we study baptism. We won't go back over baptism. Okay, we stopped at John 6:63. So, John 6:63, we find out some spiritual things. It's spirit that is alive. It's the spirit that is alive, and the flesh that profits nothing. Let's look at Ephesians 6:17. Ephesians. I had that in my notes. I didn't cover it. 6:16, but we'll touch it right now. Okay. Now, it says unto us to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, the scripture's in there because we're talking about the word, the integrity of the word. And in the comparison, now, this is a prayer scripture in Ephesians 6 and 10. It's talking about prayer. And he's telling, you know, you in your prayer life, you can take the word of God. And the word of God is a defensive word where the devil is concerned. You can take the word of God and you can use it just like an expert uses a sword on the devil. Now, don't try to use it on people. Just use it on the devil. That's what he's talking about here. You take the word and you can just put the devil right back in place with it. Don't try to use any of your words. Don't try to use any of your accent. If you're Southern, you know. If you're a Yankee, don't use any of your accent. Just use the word of God. Just use the word. The word works that way on the devil. It'll cut him right back into his place. But word only. Keep him out of your life with the word. That's your defensive weapon. That's the integrity of the word. God's word will never return to him void, but it will accomplish that which pleases him. See, and the only way it's going to accomplish what pleases him, you have to put it to work. You are the understood subject what I'm talking about now. If you put the word to work, it won't return void. It will always accomplish what God sent it to do. You see, some people try to put that on God. You can't put it on God. It's on you. It's on you, baby. You got to use it, and you got to put it to work in your life. Okay, I think I got one more scripture wrote down. I think then we're going to close it out. We're going to. You think, well, we can, yeah. Let's use Romans 8 and 6. Romans 8 and 6. Boy, that's just a good scripture right there. Mm-hmm. We're gonna use one more after that, and then we'll close it off, okay? Romans 8 and 6. We got it up there? Okay. Yeah. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if you're tormented, if you're depressed, if you have any issues in life that's making you stay awake, this is scripture you need to be confessing. Because you got your mind is over on the carnal side, which we did kind of touch on the carnality by talking about the flesh. But life and peace is what we're after. See? And the peace of God passes understanding. It keeps you all the time. So, and that's what we're after. And that's coming through the Word of God. Now, saying those that though life and peace, now it tells us the way to think on those things at all times. And I use this scripture about as a man thinketh in his heart. So as you see. So you want the peace of God to reign in your heart, then you have to put the Word in concerning peace. I also, well, we covered peace being a fruit of the Spirit. Who knows which one it is? According to scriptures, it's the third, ain't it? That we should bear. And I'm thinking like this, you know, since the love of God has been imparted and everything else surrounds the love of God, working from that platform, then peace should be one of the, you know, the second thing to show up in our life. You see, and the joy of being saved is that, you know, you're continually getting things done that God told you that would happen. You're getting answered prayer when your confession is working for you. And you see, it's a joy about answered prayer because you continually get in results. But see, when you're not getting results, there's not any joy in it. And see, that peace of God, you see, which is primarily got your thinking lined up right, and you're thinking along with the Word of God, then you're not tormented or aggravated at all about anything. When you hear bad news, it don't bother you. See? Because you know where your heart is. It's fixed, trusting in the Lord. So I got my heart fixed. So bad news don't affect me at all. The peace of God is reigning in my life. You see, it's ruling in my life. I got the peace of God, so I'm not concerned. They said, man, he laughing in the storm. Yeah, because I'm not bothered about it. Whatever the storm of life is that come against me. Now, Corinthians, this will be our last one. Okay. We're going to 2 Corinthians 3:18. So this is what I was talking about a minute ago. 2 Corinthians 3:18. You can mark this one down too if you want to. But we all with open face beholding as it in a glass the glory of the Lord and change into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, it's talking about our thinking. See, and what we're looking at is what we become because it affects our thinking. You see, we're talking about coming to the glory, you see, by the Spirit of God, you see, from glory to glory. The glory is where? With God, you see, and in our spirit. But we got our hearts and our minds fixed on it, and we're becoming that, you see. And so you become what I said a minute ago, what you think on. And you're spending all your time being involved in. And as you become that, what you're thinking on, it develops. It's hard to turn that around, too, when you spend the time. All you're really doing, to be honest with you, is meditating backwards. You're doing your meditation in the wrong direction. And the carnal things that's coming, you're spending time with it instead of the Word of God, which the Bible tells us to meditate day and night in. And observe to do what we're meditating on, see? And then we'll be prosperous in all the affairs of life, everything that we get. Okay, let's spend 5 minutes of quiet time. Then we're going to come back and dismiss. And in our quiet time, you guys pretty much know what to do. Just look inside, see what the Lord imparts to you, and then we'll give you a minute. We'll take another few minutes to express what the Spirit of the Lord has given to us. 5 minutes.